OK. So I'm Raphaël Pinson. I'm a Kubuntu developer. And, well, following the talk that Mark just gave, I'm going to talk about Kubuntu, like, specifically. I don't know if I can make this a bit... well, that'd be fine. So I'm going to talk about the specificities of Kubuntu. But first, mainly for the people who might not have been here for Mark's talk, which is not very likely to be, let's just make a point on what Ubuntu is. So... Well, there is a common misconception that Kubuntu is a fork of Ubuntu, like we take Ubuntu and we put KDE on top of it. This is not actually the case. Ubuntu and Kubuntu are the same distribution. And this is very important to note. We have the same packages, we share the same repositories as Ubuntu, and we release exactly at the same time. The only difference are the default packages that are shipped with the CD. So given this, you can basically take an Ubuntu desktop installation and turn it into a Kubuntu desktop just by installing one package, which is Kubuntu desktop. And you can do the same for Xubuntu desktop or Edubuntu desktop and reverse. So yeah, basically, I've put it this way, but it may lead also to this misconception. Kubuntu is Ubuntu with KDE on top of it by default. And a bit of work as well for integration, because we want to reach the same level of integration that is given to GNOME in Ubuntu. We want to have it in KDE with Kubuntu. So basically, just talking very fast about Ubuntu for people who might not have been here before. Ubuntu is Debian-based, which makes it rock solid, since Debian is very famous for being a very solid and stable distribution, and with a great package management system and really a strong file system organization. Given that Ubuntu has a 6-month release schedule, which means actually it is not... Again, it's not really like a real fork. Like, Ubuntu has not been based on Debian once and for all. It's not like we took Debian once and then we evolved somewhere else. Ubuntu has a 6-month release schedule, including 3 months of synchronizing with the current Debian packages in Unstable. So during the three first months, we take packages in Debian Unstable and we apply the changes that haven't been forwarded to Debian. And then in the three last months, we just polish and make it stable and available for the desktop with our changes. So basically, you can say that once every 6 months, we take a screenshot of the latest packages in Debian and we make it available for end users out of the box. So this is the same for Kubuntu, except we use the KDE packages by default instead of the GNOME packages. Ubuntu and Kubuntu are shipped with an install in Live CD. I'll go a bit further with that later on, since we now have a graphical installer that is shipped with the Live CD and allows to install Kubuntu or Ubuntu directly from the Live CD without having to go through the red and blue installer. Ubuntu is committed to be always free and open source. This is something important that Mark has been talking about. And it is desktop oriented. Although there are several versions, and Ubuntu is going to be in Dapper certificated for professional servers and enterprise servers, it is still really targeting the desktop and the end users in order to be usable on the desktop out of the box. Ubuntu provides ShipIt, which is a system that allows to get CDs for free, both live and installed CDs of Ubuntu. This is yet not available for Kubuntu, but it will be in Dapper, so you will be able to get CDs as well through the ShipIt system. And well, SABDFL is the name of Mark Shuttleworth's name. That's how we know him, as self-appointed benevolent dictator for life of the Ubuntu project, and there's a nice picture of him there. But you've seen him in live just before. So the second point that makes Kubuntu different is that it uses KDE as the default desktop. So, well, KDE is a very, very old desktop environment on the Linux platforms. It's older than GNOME, and it's very famous for most people. But still, I'm going to just point out what makes KDE. Oh, KDE. So KDE is a free desktop and is committed, again, to be free, and it's community-oriented. It's a powerful development platform based on Trolltech's Qt, which is very object-oriented, which makes it able to really have programs that interact with one another. This is really important because it gets us a desktop environment with great interactive programs that can really, when I mean interactive, I really mean that the programs interact. Like, if you have a contact set in your address book and you have an IM set for it, then you receive an email from this contact, you can immediately know if this contact is online on Kopete, for example, and talk with him immediately. This is what is allowed by integration and mostly currently by the DCOP protocol, which is going to be replaced in KDE4. We'll talk about that. Among the great interactive programs in KDE, some are very famous. Amarok has even gotten people from Windows to switch to Linux only for this program. K3B is very famous as well. Even Nero has released a version for Linux and hasn't gotten people to change for it because of the perfect K3B. Conker is a very famous one, although sometimes not very light. It used to be quite a bit bulked in the past. And it's really a special program in that it allows to do a lot of things with only one interface, like going to the internet, checking files, reading PDF documents, images, just a lot of things. Scribus is a page layout document, like program, like Quark Express. It's not as good as Quark Express, but it's still a very good program for this kind of use. And Krita, which is getting much better with version 1.5 that we have integrated into Dapper, and that is getting, if not better, at least as good as GIMP with this version, and is an image editing program. Let's talk a bit about the future of KDE, since it's a thrilling future. KDE is currently developing KDE 4, which is an entirely new version, which is targeted to rethink the desktop. We have had desktops on computers, on personal computers, since 1984 with the Macintosh, and we still have those same kind of icons, windows. It still works quite the same. The idea is to review the thing, to think differently of what it can do. Well, there's still no really snapshot, but it's in development, and the basis of it, the libraries are being ported with the new Qt4 version of the Qt language, which allows more possibilities to the desktop itself, just inside the language that is used. That allows to create a new desktop, which is the Plasma project, which has a lot of new features, but I can't show them, unfortunately. And new multimedia, namely Funen. I don't know, there's something wrong with my font. Funen, that is to replace Art. So we have plans for AG with Plasma, which is mostly as soon as alpha versions will be, for KDE 4, as soon as the alpha versions will be available, we want to provide packages so you can enjoy the development and just see the snapshots and the evolution of this new development of KDE. Let's talk about Kubuntu Dapper. The code name for Kubuntu Dapper is Kubuntu 6.06 for June of 2006. LTS, you've probably seen LTS somewhere. This is for long-term support. And the code name is Dapper Drake. Now, there's been a lot of discussions on the Dapper Drake to know whether it was to be a Drake like a duck or a Drake like a dragon. Well, being working with KDE, I made my choice. So the Dapper Drake will be released on the 1st of June, which is really soon. We're very happy with the distribution. It has been delayed a bit for many reasons, namely translations, bug fixing, since it's going to be a long-term support distributions, we want it to be as good as possible for you. Since Kubuntu Dapper Drake is based on Ubuntu Dapper Drake, it features the same thing on the basis layers, which is namely a faster boot, or really faster. And then on the KDE side, we have KDE 3.5.2 with the improvement that it brings, and special things that we care about particularly in Kubuntu, namely adapt, system settings with guidance, ubiquity, network manager, simplified use and profiles, CG, K-Chinese, Japanese, and Korean integration, and KOffice and Krita 1.5. I'll go around these points a bit. First, adapt. Well, I miss a T there. Adapt, which is an apt package manager for KDE. That was initially made for Debian, but we choose in Kubuntu to use it, although it was not really stable yet, and it has been maturing since Breezy, to now feature four modules. Adapt Manager, which was there since Breezy, and just allows to deal with packages very powerfully. You can basically search for packages like, let's say, Amarok, for example. Yeah, and I find packages for Amarok. Oh, I'm going to put that here. And you can easily request removal or installation, get details. And it now features the support for dev tags here that allows to find packages that are tagged with a special use, like medical use, junior use, audio and video use. You can just show installed and not installed packages, upgradable packages. You can upgrade your old distribution from here, and you can even deal with repositories and very easily activate or disable repositories or add new ones. So this is something that we missed in KDE for quite a time, like in KDE based on Debian, and that is now available and make package management much easier to deal with graphically. Then there are new other components of adapt in Dapper. Add remove programs, which is a program that is close to the add remove programs we have in GNOME in Ubuntu. Oops. Oh, that's because they have adapt open. And that allows for basic users to very easily choose what program they want to use without having to deal with adapt manager and the package's names. They just select the program they want to install. Yeah. By category, like Office, multimedia, etc. And packages like libraries and so on are just switched, ignored, because most users don't want to deal with these things. So I can very easily select programs, even unsupported programs that are programmed in the universe repositories, and just select them and click for installation. The latest great part in the improvements in Dapper is the installer and it's the updater and notifier. It existed in GNOME. There's an equivalent in Ubuntu, and it's just I don't have it here. It's an icon that will show in the sys/tray when there are upgrades available. Basically, it runs. There's a cron tab that is run once a day to check updates, and when there are updates available, you will see an icon in the sys/tray, and you just have to click on it, enter your password, and you can upgrade your system. For people using unstable distribution, this is not so great as they used to do it, but for people using a stable desktop and needing security patches, this is something really important, because most people don't check security updates, and they are not aware of them when they happen. So in this case, they will just see it when it happens. All they have to do is to click, enter the password, and their desktop will be up to date with security patches. So So, well, I really have a problem with fonts. One other great thing we have, and that has been pushed in Kubuntu, is guidance. You probably know, since at least Breezy, that we stopped using KControl at the default control panel in KDE, but instead we use system settings, which looks easier for users to deal with. Basically, it features the same modules. And I want to make a point on four modules that are added by the guidance system. The guidance system is written in PyKDE, so this is very important for us, since most of the development of tools in Ubuntu are written in Python. The development of PyKDE just makes it really easy and to integrate and to port these tools to Kubuntu. PyKDE, I can just talk really fast about it. This is something really great that uses that implements Python classes using the same functions as the Qt API in C++. So it allows to really port really easily applications to it. Guidance contains four modules. Among them is system services, which allows to easily set the system that are started in each init level in the system, so you can fast your boot, for example, or set which services are going to be on or off by default on the system, and or just restart them graphically without having to go to your console if you want to restart Apache, for example. Diskenfall systems. I'll show you this one because this is an interesting one, since for a long time on KDE we only had Qt ported, which was very limited. Diskenfall systems allows you to create and manage partitions very in a very easy way. I'll go to the administrative mode. It recognizes quite a lot of partition file systems and detects automatically the options that go with. So, for example, if I create a new partition, here is the default, extended 2, and I can just choose graphically the mount point and choose options like enable at startup, writable, and mount permissions, and go advanced and choose other options. But then, depending on the type of partition that I want to create, for example, let's say I want to create an HFS Plus from a Macintosh, it will show other options, which is very useful, since most of the time for this kind of file systems, you just have to find documentation somewhere to complete your FS tab, and this shows automatically the options available for each file system. The third module that is available in guidance is users in group that replaces KUser, for example, and makes it easy to just deal with users on your system. And add or remove or update account users. What's wrong? What? Really? Okay, well, it works usually. So, okay, again, it allows to choose graphically the home directory and choose among the different shells available on the system and so on. And the last one is the display, which is really important one, because it replaces the... Okay, fine. The display module allows to deal with... And this is pretty new, allows to deal graphically with double screen settings. For example, this is what I used to set the clone mode for my PowerBook. So you can very easily choose to have a second screen, and it will update directly the xorg.conf file. You can set the gamma, you can set the screen saving preferences, and the colors. let's get back here. Okay. A very important thing that I was talking about in the beginning, in Ubuntu and in Kubuntu, is ubiquity. The ability to be using only one CD to test the distribution as a live CD and to install it if you like it. This was previously known as Espresso, so some of you might have heard of it as Espresso. And this is basically a program that is written in GTK for Ubuntu and using, again, PyKDE for Kubuntu. It integrates existing tools and allows to graphically install the system on your computer. So basically, you can run the live CD, you test the program, and if you're happy with it, you click on the desktop to on the install icon, and you are taken into simple steps of creating accounts, partitioning, etc., and then you just restart and you get a Kubuntu system. I just have it. I don't have it installed here because this is not a live CD, but I have just this screenshot. Something that is often lacking in Linux, on Linux desktop, is dealing with Wi-Fi. And we have been working on this, thanks to also improvements in SUSE, with Key Network Manager. Key Network Manager is based on the Network Manager daemon that allows to keep a track on the Wi-Fi networks around you and try to select always the most trustable network. So on the KDE side for Kubuntu, we have Key Network Manager, which will place in the sys-tray and just check the networks graphically. You can check the network graphically and select which Wi-Fi network you want to be connected now. You can also choose to switch directly to the cable if you have a cable at hand. In this system, KWiFi Manager is replaced with WL Assistant, which is the Wi-Fi part of Key Network Manager. So this basically allows to stay connected in multiple networks areas where networks are changing a lot. Network Manager will allow you to always track the most active network and stay connected to it. The settings have been changed in Dapper compared to Breezy to make them easier. First, there was a setting you probably remember on Breezy when you were installing Kubuntu on a PC. Depending on the PC, it wouldn't look exactly the same, like the fonts. So the DPI has been forced, and the fonts have been adjusted to just look the same on computers and just have a more professional look. The tabs have been rethought a bit. For example, in programs such as Conquer, where you have... I don't have Conquer here. Yeah, I do. Where you most of the time write to the top of the screen, the tabs are kept to the top. But in programs such as Conversation or Console, where you most of the time type to the bottom of the screen, the tabs are put to the bottom, which is the case also in Copete and in Conversation. This is just an example, but just many settings, default settings in Kubuntu have been rethought to make the user experience easier. The Conquer toolbar's menus and actions have been simplified as well, especially working on the K-parts to have a better inclusion of PDF, for example. So they just show well, and the buttons are properly showing actions that fit the use. Same for images, for example, and the button bar has been simplified. You only have one line of button bars, just like in Firefox, for example, because we think that the reason why people use a lot Firefox is because the interface is very simple as well. So we try to have an interface that is as simple as Firefox. The file associations have been changed a bit. As we have chosen other default programs for some things. For example, embedded video is now dealt with KM Player, whereas if you want to play in a standalone application, it will still use KFan. The reason is that KFan embedding Conquer is not as powerful as Game Player. So we have tried to just make it more usable. One thing that German people and European people might not care about especially, but that we care about, is CGK integration, Chinese, Japanese, and Korean integration, which has been really improved with Scheme with a C for GNOME and with a K for KDE, which is a program that allows to type Chinese, Japanese, and Korean characters in all programs in KDE. Now, this is really important because, as you know, there is a technological boom in these regions right now, and Linux is gaining more and more power in these regions, and allowing users to use the writing on the Kubuntu desktop is really important for us so they can use it. We have imported lately KOffice 1.5, which has been released very lately. It is not in main currently. We still have OpenOffice as the default Office program. But I want to talk about it because Kubuntu is about having a KDE desktop, really. And although we didn't choose to have KOffice by default because it's not yet as mature as OpenOffice, KOffice 1.5 is really a big step towards a great Office suite. So maybe the most famous application of KOffice is Krita, which has been really improved, as I said before, in KOffice 1.5, and is almost now better than GIMP in image processing. Then we have KWords, which is a text processing program that can read also documents, KSpread, KPresenter that I'm using right now, KXE, which allows to deal with databases graphically, which is really useful, like to deal with the structure of databases graphically, for example, instead of using a web interface. Kivio to deal with diagrams. Kplato would deal with projects. Okay. and this is something that was really lacking in KDE so far. Kuga, which is for reports. Yeah. Carbon 14, which is for vectorial drawing. K-chart for charts, K-formula, and K-thesaurus. So we have with KOffice a very wide Office suite that is getting more and more stable and more usable, and we hope to be able to include it as default, replacing OpenOffice soon. Well, just as a final word, Kubuntu is a community-driven distribution, and we're always open to welcoming new contributors. We hang out on Freenode on Kubuntu and Kubuntu Devil most of the time, and there are lots of things to do in Kubuntu, as you can imagine, such as packaging, but triaging, tracking and fixing, documentation. Documentation has been something really important for us in Dapper. A lot of documentation has been done and is still being translated for the Dapper release. When you start Conqueror, you see now that in the help section, you have documentation about Kubuntu, which is a general word on Kubuntu, but you have a Kubuntu desktop guide, which explains how to set most of the things on your box, specifically for Kubuntu, a Kubuntu server guide, some release notes, and additionally, a packaging guide for people who want to get involved in packaging and helping with packages, which is most of the time quite difficult to get in with the current documentation. User support is also something that can be done on RC and on forums. Translation with Rosetta, as Mark has showed just before. Rosetta is now available for KDE. It was not before, but KDE has been imported to Rosetta, so we can now easily translate all the KDE components in Rosetta, including the patches that have been done to it, into any language using the web interface. And finally, testing is something very important as well, and feedback. So, yeah, if you have any questions on Kubuntu, you're free to ask them. Questions? Yeah. Sorry.
We get the remark if updates are available.
Yes.
And that right, you said you have to give
in a password. Is this the root password? Okay, Kubuntu, yeah. Kubuntu, just as Ubuntu, uses sudo instead of su. It has been this way for quite a long time. For many reasons, it allows to deal better with ACLs on the computer. To what users can do and what they can't do as root. So the password that is asked is always your own password, providing that you are an admin, so in the administrator group. Any other questions? Yeah? Sorry. It is supposed to be, yeah. It's supposed to allow it out of the box. Yes. More questions? Okay, well, thank you for your attention. And I wish you a good end of the day at the Linux Tech.